Okay. We are still early, huh? So you don't have to worry, huh? I have a song, Sadhu. Today is for you, huh? Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. They have made the garland, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice, huh? Rejoice at the offering. So we can set it up first. Then maybe today we can start a bit earlier, since most of us are here already. Instead of 8:15, we start at 8:10, so we have 5 minutes more. yeah, it's very beautiful. Yeah. The tray will go with the incense, the clear water, and the candle. Sadhu. This one you can put at the side. Put the other side. The other side. Sadhu. Okay. So this emptiness talk we finish, This one also finish, So for those who missed the class, these are the important pointers, We got the 4 important support for meditation, These are very useful. And earlier on, I think Mimi wanted this to be explained. To clarify what is... To clarify what is Dhamma, contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. This is the second turning back. Then what is the meaning of understanding? Understanding is when you develop the understanding of the Dhamma, then you straighten your view. Then after that, you awaken. Then there is the realization part. Then there are 4 types of clear comprehension. 4 types of clear comprehension. First is sincerity of purpose. That one is very important. Followed by domain of meditation. So when you understand that meditation can be done in all posture, anywhere, any place, any time, and then you are not deluded by what normally people tell you, or the thought try to justify, this place is too noisy, I cannot meditate, I need to go to retreat, or I don't have time, I need to retire first, otherwise I don't have time to meditate. No such thing as because meditation can be done any place, any time, anywhere, in any posture. Then suitability. Suitability means you don't go and allow your mind to choose and pick, it must be done here, this place, at that time. Then these are the people who must be around and all things. So when your mind starts to have preference and discrimination, you find that you will work against your understanding of meditation. Whatever you do, you have to accord and flow. You have to accept the reality of the moment. So the Buddha said, suitability of place, time, and people means wherever you are, that is the most important place. Wherever you are, the people around are your most important people. Make full use of it. Then the other one is also the time. The time is always present moment. If you try to allow your thought to project into the past and the future, then it oscillates through thought. Then you are not with the reality, with the moment. Then you cannot understand life. You cannot develop wisdom. The last one is non-delusion. This spelling is wrong. Not no delusion. Non-delusion. Non-delusion means you are not deluded by the experience that you have, the very wonderful meditative experience or mental states that you go through during meditation. So when you are not deluded, you will not be trapped by the defilement of insight. Otherwise, those good states, they will trap you. Then you will be like make believe by the thought that, oh, you already somebody transformed. But the moment the atta come in, if you deludedly allow it to surface without that clarity of mind, then you fall into this trap of defilement of insight. So these are the four. Then you have faith, sincerity, and diligence. So to walk the path of Dhamma, you need these three. When you have the faith, when you are very sincere, and you diligently cultivate, you will definitely progress. We haven't started yet. This is a revision for those who missed the class. Then you want to know more, you go and listen to the recording. So nowadays, recording helps. You see, listening to recording is very useful. That day, one of the Kayamita that actually benefited a lot, she actually gave us a dinner treat before Hong Sui Han, me and my wife. So we went, she and her husband took us to one nice place for dinner. Then she shared with us how it transformed her. She was actually in a state of severe depression for many, many years. Then over the last 1-2 years, she herself also don't believe she can transform until like that. Then she asked me, how come like that one? He said, last time, when he was depressed at that time, people that she don't like, when she see, she really, really become very unhappy and miserable, and there is a lot of hatred and unhappiness. Then no peace at all. Very disturbed. Now, he transformed until there is no such thing as people whom she like or she don't like. Even last time, treat her very difficult one, or those that she don't like one. Now also, she look at them so different. There is so much love, compassion, and joy. Then she said, when I change also, I don't know. It become like that. So I told her, the main reason is because she is the one that chased after Suyan for the recorded talk one last time. You should thank her. And because of that, Suyan now very fast. Even the talk finish midnight or just slightly after midnight, you receive the recording. So last time, she told me, when she first came to my class, because she found the talk so good, she day and night listened. Travel while working and all things, she listened. Then there's a lot of joy. As she do that, she actually straightened her view. She didn't know. Then she followed exactly what I said. So because of that, she transformed very fast. And without her knowing. Then the good thing about her is she has very strong faith after that, because she went through suffering before. She went through all the depression and all things. So the first noble truth reality, when I explain, she like full of joy. You know, this was where she was trapped. Then when I said one thing, I said, it's only a thought. How come we have such power to make you so miserable? She like suddenly wake up. Then I said, your life, you decide how you want to live. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. Why can't you choose to be happy? Well, then there was like, she was full of joy, and the face like brightened out. There is a possibility of transformation now. Then she keep on like nodding her head. Yeah, why so stupid? Why so stupid? Why last time don't know all these things? Yeah, nobody tell her. She cannot understand that there is such a teaching taught by the Buddha in the name of Buddhism. So she was very surprised. So listening to the Dhamma actually helped you to straighten your view. And then after that, she reflect, contemplate. Then she determined to follow the advice. Then she just follow what I said. And she did a very simple religious routine. She had her puja morning, she bow. Then she meditate for 15, 20 minutes every day at least once. And that's what she did. And she seldom go retreat. She only go to the Cameron Highland retreat held by me. Apart from that, she never go. And she is totally new to the Dhamma. So people like her, such chronic and severe case, can also transform. Means everyone can do it. Understand? Okay, in 2-3 minutes we start. So today I was told, I think, Brother Song and a few Kayanamita, they volunteer to take up the puja. Then finally we reimburse through Kayanamita Fund. So all Dhamma friends get to do. So we should rejoice with all this offering. And there's a lot of significance. Like in the chanting book, later on we will go through again. You make full use of your faith, understanding, then all this offering has a significant and meaning. Then you make personal aspiration. It's going to help you a lot, pave the way for you to have the causes and conditions to actually develop this pure wish so that it can become a living reality to help you progress along the path of Dhamma. Okay, can we get those who sponsor today? Come in front, get ready. Then we pass it around. This time we do it more orderly. Can we just, from this direction, we pass it on like that. Then we go back, go to the back. Then we, from the back, come back to the front. Okay, we follow one line like that. Go to the back, then come back. You all pass back. So you turn around and resist. Sadhu, sadhu. Then the last person turn around, pass to the next row. Okay, then the last one, Suyan, bring it back. Okay, come. Those who are Song and who else? Monica? Where is Monica? Come. No. You come and pass this out. Quan. Where is Sister Quan? Klang. Come. So you should rejoice. Because they are the people who sponsor and help. So you make sure the joystick is lighted. Then you start to offer all those. When you offer to the Buddha, you rejoice. Then the rest can sadhu and rejoice. Okay, we can start. You take the tray first. The fruit separate, too heavy. The fruit, take it out. The fruit separate. Okay, can manage that. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then pass to Quan. Pass to Monica, okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pass on. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 I just touch your needle already. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu. You should rejoice until your heart open up. It will help you to meditate. Then you develop the faith. After when you meditate, it will be very easy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you rejoice, yeah, because of the generosity, and this offering is very wholesome. So you recall to mind all this good condition and wholesomeness. Then this joy will become a new habit. So that in future, whenever you are born, this becomes your habitual tendency that you develop. These are very wholesome. So that when you see offering, in future life, you will know how to rejoice automatically. And so when you do it until it becomes your habit, personal habit, then you will like to do. Then every time there is condition, you will know how to manifest and perform all this. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Put it back. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pass it to Song to arrange. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. So everybody, you can get yourself seated. Then we will start the official puja. You have the chanting book with you in there. Okay, turn to page. I don't know whether my paging is same as yours or not. Mine is page 4. Is yours page 4? Vandana. Okay, we will chant together. Before we do that, can we pay homage to the Buddha? You just compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha and the virya, then pay respect mindfully. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, we will chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Kamesu Micacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Sura Meraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, now we will do the puja for the offering of light, etc. We will get NB to help us. The mic is with you, right? Good. So can you lead? Then we join you and chant. The Patipa Puja, offering of light. Page 5.
Page 3, sorry.
That's why I said this is a new format. Later you heard it. Sorry, you all page 3. You all go ahead. Ing Bi, you lead.
Patipa Puja. Ganasara Paditena Di.
Pujaye pujaniyam tam pujya bhajana muttamam vannaya ganda gunopetam etam kasumva santatim pujayami munindasa siri para sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nena Paunena Metayena Chahotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tatayati Vinasabhavam Adivase tuno bante paniyang paritang cantang anukampang upadaya patigang hatumuttamang.
For the meaning, you all go back and read yourself. There's an English translation on the right hand side. So now we will make the aspiration. Go to your yellow card. We will chant this personal aspiration. This is a simple guide for doing personal puja and aspiration. When you are alone, you chant I am me. When we are in a group, you chant we and ours. So this is a concise puja and aspiration that you can use during puja to be done at home or at any way place when you are alone. So the significance and meanings of offering of light. So we chant together. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. So this is the significance of offering of light, so that there are causes and conditions for it to illuminate your mind. So when your mind has this clarity, the wisdom light which illuminate, it will help to actually develop the understanding for you to dispel of all ignorance. So this aspiration is very meaningful. Then offering of water, you see the significance now. We chant together. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water leads us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. So this one is straightforward. Clear water, when you offer, it means clarity of Dhamma. So when it has this clarity, you will awaken and you will understand. Then it will help you to actually doze off and cease all defilement. Offering of incense. The significance is, we chant together. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide,
Just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. So your wisdom, virtue, and understanding, if they are the true virtue, wisdom, and understanding born of the true Dhamma, then like the incense, it will shine for far and wide, the fragrance. So this is a very beautiful analogy too. So next one is significant offering of fruits we chant together. May this offering of fruits remind us of our dana parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Path and fruition are the enlightenment stages of cultivation. Then the significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Then now we will make the overall aspiration. We chant together. By the power of these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas. Balas is a Pali word. It means spiritual power. Unshakable spiritual faculties. They are called balas. So if you can have this condition, you should at least develop the enlightenment up to the Sotapanna stage, which is the first stage of sainthood. Then we dedicate and share these merits. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who had the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you pay respect mindfully to the Triple Jap. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, now you can relax yourself, get yourself seated, then we will start the official meditation session. So today, I think we got more time. We still got about 7 minutes, which is very good, so that we are in time for the official, what they call commencement of the next session of the puja, where we will chant the salutation to the Triple Jap, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then before that, we will invocation to the devas. So this one, we will get Sister Eng Bee to help us. She will chant the first part, Samantha, Chakravali, Sue, all those things. Then after that, we will start the Vandana together and finish off the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Okay, Eng Bee, you can start.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadang Paritta Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Paritta Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Paritta Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta.
Okay, thank you, so much. I will read the translation so that you all can develop the understanding. Invocation to the devas. In the universe of their entirety, let the dintis come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine, protective chant. So now we will chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Ittipiso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vijjācaraṇa sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sārati satta deva manosānaṃ Buddho Bhagavati. The meaning is this. Salutation to the Buddha. This is the first of the triple gem. Such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, the perfectly enlightened one, endowed with knowledge and virtue, the accomplished one, knower of the world, the incomparable guide or teacher or master of those that need to be trained. Teachers of men and God, the enlightened one, the blessed one. Then now we will chant the salutation to the Dhamma. Swakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachatang veditadbu Vino hiti. The meaning is, well expounded is the Dhamma by the Blessed One, to be self-realized, not subject to time, means timeless, inviting investigation, leading onwards to the heart and Nibbana, and can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. Okay. We will do the salutation to the Sangha. We will chant now. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho. Ujupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho. Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho yadidam chattari purisa yokkani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sangho ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakiniyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anuttarang, Punyang, Ketang, Lokasati. Okay, the meaning is, of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. That is to say, this order of the Blessed One's disciple, namely the four pairs of individual or the eight types of beings, is worthy of offerings, worthy of hospitality, worthy of gifts, and is worthy of reverential salutation, and the field of merit is incomparable to the world. So we will chant the last one. Salutation to the four main objects of veneration. Vandami cetiyang sabbam sabbatane supatetitang saririka datu mahabohing buddha rupang sakalang sada. The meaning is, I salute every shrine or chetia that stands in any place, the bodily relics, the great bohi tree, and all the rupang or images of Sakyamuni Buddha. Then we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Oh, today, perfect. Exactly 8:30 we finish. So very good. So I think we will pass around the puja flower 8:10. It's just nice. So we will revise that a bit. Okay, tonight, as usual, anybody who is first time here, completely, or there's one, or you also, you follow your mom, looks similar. Very good, I rejoice. Sadhu to you. So young, you have the condition. You should thank your mom. Then, if you can develop some form of understanding and interest, it is your good karma. It's your good affinity with the Triple Gem. Then it will help you a lot in time to come. To understand clearly what life is. And it can also help you in many ways in your study, in your understanding of your own form and mind. Then it can bring forth great condition for you to have good life. You will come to understand later as you cultivate and practice. And your life will be like very blessed, very well protected, and well guided. Provided you have this understanding within, you have the faith, you are very sincere, and you can develop this diligently, so that it can become a part of you, a living reality within your life. Okay, so for those who are here before, you know how to meditate, you can start straight away. Then for the two new ones and those who still need instruction, I will give some instruction. Can we have the light off? Yeah. So you can meditate tonight for about at least 40 minutes. We still got a lot of time. Okay. Relax your body and mind. To meditate, your body and mind must have harmony. So make sure you have a good, stable sitting posture. You have problem with sitting, you need not sit on the floor. You can sit on a chair, on a couch. Whatever posture that is comfortable and allow you to relax and train your mind to develop this meditation will be useful and suitable. So you don't have to force yourself to sit when you cannot sit. For those who are still young and can sit, you learn how to relax. If you relax, you will have less pain, less problem and less numbness, then you can meditate better. Relax body and mind completely. Then make sure you have a stable posture. Your posture is like a tripod. You got your buttock at the end, then the two front support, either your toe or your thigh, depending on how you sit, full lotus or half lotus. You have to balance between this tripod. If you find your buttock too painful, then you lean forward a bit, allow the pressure to go to your leg. Then you find your leg too painful or numb, then you relax and sit back a bit, transfer the bulk of the pressure to your buttock. So this support is up to you to balance your posture. Then you make sure your backbone is straight. Then you close your eye, breathe in, breathe out normally. Then relax everything. Then you just feel, don't think, feel. Develop attention and feel your forehead. Your forehead, you try to feel if there is any tension, any tightness, any stress within. You just relax, relax, relax them all. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then after that, you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Make sure all the eye muscles are soothingly relaxed. Then you move it to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel. Feel every strand of your facial muscle. Relax them all. Then in order to assist you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate this radiant smile, there is happiness, there is joy inside you. And this joy will naturally relax your facial muscle further. Then you can start to radiate love and metta. You follow according to what I recite. You can start with your own form and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Then you can repeat this. May I, this body and mind of mine, I feel your body and mind, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. So this will help you to bring about inner well-being. Initially, when you do the mind sweeping method, you will bring about inner peace. Then now you develop inner well-being through loving kindness and metta. So the good thing about meditation is when you do it correctly, your mind calms down. It develops inner peace, leading to inner well-being. And this is positive energy. Energy that is full of positive vibration, because there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of well-being within your body and mind. And this vibration can help you to recuperate from your tiredness, and also help you to release your stress, and also help you to raise your immune system. Because when you have joy, when you have happiness and inner well-being, it will do away with all the negative energy field of fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation, which are very detrimental to your immune system and your health. So this type of meditation can help you in many ways. So you continue to reflect and radiate this metta. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Feel it deep inside your body and mind. The well-being, inner peace, and inner happiness. Then you continue to radiate metta. May this body and mind of mine to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You should feel it. Physically, mentally, no more suffering. You are at peace. Then may this body and mind of mine to be free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all other beings, your loved one, etc. May all my loved ones, together with all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Kayanamitas or Dharma friends, may they all to be well and happy, free from all suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within the entire of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, and our mother, Earth, planet Earth. our solar system, then all beings within our galaxy and the entire universe. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. Then after that, you can come back to your facial muscle. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Just relax everything, silence your mind. Then you maintain attention on your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax everything. Then you move your attention to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder. Then you move your attention to your heart or your chest area. You just feel, silent everything. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within, or within that silence, whatever that arise, you just silence your mind to be aware. Don't try to know anything, just aware. All of the tactile consciousness that arise, any sound or vibration, like the ticking of the clock, or the vibration from the recorder, the aircon sound, the fan sound, the traffic sound, and all the insect vibration or chirping of birds and all these things. All of the vibration within nature, you just silence your mind and feel. Just aware. Do not allow the thought to follow. Just aware, aware and aware. Then maintain silence more and more, more and more. Then you can feel the vibration from your heartbeat and your heart area. You just silence everything and stay there. Your meditation will develop very fast. For those who are new, you cannot. Then you just relax every part. Just like you feel your forehead and relax. Now you feel your heart area. Then relax all of the tension within. Whatever uncomfortableness, just relax. Then allow the breathing to go on naturally. This breathing will slow down as you become more calm and more peaceful. You will develop long breath. Then you continue to sweep this mind down to feel your stomach. As you feel your stomach, because you are silent, without thought, you are just feel. And this feeling is very near awareness. As you feel your senses are open, you will hear vibration, ticking of the clock, all those things, they are very loud. It's okay, you can just be aware. Then let it be, then feel. Then relax into it. The four support of meditation are very important. First one is to relax into everything that arises. Then silence your mind. The second support is just maintain awareness or the silence. You have to perceive the silence. When you are silent, you are very sensitive. You are very attentive. Then you can be aware of all vibration, all of the sensation that arise within your tactile consciousness, all of the contact that you can pick up through the vibration that hit your eardrum. Then all the other senses are less active. So you continue to relax. Then you sweep it down to your abdomen, silent everything, feel, then relax. Buttock, do the same. leg, do the same. Then you reverse the whole process from the leg to your buttock. Feel, relax, don't think. And your abdomen, do the same. Feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Heart area, feel, relax every part. Then radiate smile. Go back to your shoulder, hand back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax every part. Then your facial muscle, then your radiant smile, relax every part. Then feel your eye muscle, do the same, relax and radiate a radiant smile. Then your forehead, do the same. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. This is what we call the mind sweeping method. It is just a technique, skillful means to train your mind to decondition your heedless thinking. Most meditators who are new, your mental hindrance, the five mental hindrances are very strong. You have delusion, self-delusion, wrong view that condition the hindrance. They are sensual desire, ill will, sleepiness, sloth and torpor, then restlessness of mind and doubt. All this arise through your daily life when you are not mindful, when you are not heedful. So when they arise within your daily life, it condition you into negativity and heedlessness without your understanding. So that's why when you come here, you try to meditate, you try to silence, you cannot, it think a lot. The hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calm and inner awareness. And because of that, we need to train this heedless mind, thinking mind, mundane mind. It's only when we use the mind sweeping method, we feel and relax, we don't think. Then this heedless thinking will slow down. Then the hindrance will disappear on their own. And according to the Buddha, in order to overcome this hindrance, you need to cultivate constantly the spiritual faculty. That's why the puja we do here is very good. It will make you very calm and very peaceful and very mindful. Then you will find that with the spiritual faculty, you don't have to do all this mind sweeping method because your mind is already trained. With the spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be gone. Then you can meditate easily. But for those who are new, after this mind sweeping method, you will be more calm and more peaceful. You are in a better position to train this sati or stabilize this mindfulness or awareness within. So what we do now is the next step where the Buddha taught us to train this mind in anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So the word combined, anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and out breath. So like you maintain attention at the forehead, now you maintain attention at your nostril where the breathing goes in and goes out. You just silence your mind and feel. When you detect your breathing, then you follow mind and the breath as one. Yeah. Breathing in, like the Buddha said, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just silence your mind and maintain attention and allow this anapanasati to develop on its own. If you have not done it before, if you are not trained, then your mind will wander off very fast. Split second is no longer with the breathing. It's okay. You have to develop patience. Patiently bring your attention back to the breathing. Detect the breathing. Feel. Just like you feel your forehead. The moment you feel your breathing, allow the mind to be one with the feeling. So breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. If you are patient enough, anapanasati will develop within a short period of time. So always remember, be patient. Every time this mind wanders off, bring it back, train again. After a while, it will stabilize. When it stabilizes, the mind becomes very different. When the mind is in sati or mindfulness without thought, it is very calm, very peaceful. Then a type of spiritual joy, piti, will arise. When you experience piti, you will like to meditate because it is an enlightenment factor. There is this spiritual rupture or joy within your mind that is mindful and without thought. Then you continue to relax into it and allow it to develop further. After a while, if you train yourself properly, this piti will become more refined. It enter what they call sukha. Your mind experience a very blissful state, much more refined than piti. Then you continue to relax and silent. Just maintain the awareness within. This bliss or sukha will transform again to become pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind or the silent mind, the meditative mind without thought. When you are in pasati, there is the meditative mind. Means your spiritual faculties develop. Then you just silent your mind. Maintain the whatever breathing that you have. After a while, your breathing will become very subtle. But you continue to relax and just maintain awareness. Then when your mind enters sati, develops the more refined mindfulness, you will be able to detect even the very fine breathing, subtle breathing. Then you will become very mindful. Then wherever you locate your mind, it can detect all of the vibration within your body. That's why you can listen to your own heartbeat without a stethoscope. Then you can stay at the heart if you want to. Otherwise, you can stay at the breathing until your mind is very stable. Then silence everything and just aware. Whatever that arises, whether tactile consciousness, sensation, or vibration through your sense door, the hearing consciousness, you just allow the silent mind to be aware. Don't go and think and proliferate, just aware. Then let it fall back into silent. Aware, fall back to silent. If you can do this without reaction, you will develop your meditation very well. Then you will be aware of silence more and more, more and more. Don't try to know anything. Just develop this stability of mindfulness until it becomes very, very stable, very peaceful, very calm, very relaxed. Until you can accept all vibration, all sense door contact, whether tactile, hearing, or whatever. Even your heartbeat or whatever vibration. You can just silence everything and just let it be. Then you continue to develop your meditation this way. I will allow you to continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 to 15 minutes. Then after that, for those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. For those who still want to continue to meditate after that, you can. Okay. others who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Stabilize it. Maintain it for as long as you can. This is the trained state of mind. You have trained it. You have to maintain this trained state of inner awareness, inner mindfulness, and inner peace and inner calm. This is the mind state that you need to use when you are living your life. And the Buddha said the real meditation is the four foundation of mindfulness. The main one is the daily mindfulness. Sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. The four types of clear comprehension that we discussed last week as written on the whiteboard. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose. Then clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Followed by clear comprehension of the suitability of place, time and people. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. We need to on all the light we are as we are going through the book. You can on the light, on all the lights. Daily mindfulness is very important. Then learn to be aware more and more, more and more. Aware of your hand movement, aware of how you turn, bend, stretch, how throughout the day when you live life, when you blink your eye, you should be aware. When your hand move, you should be aware. When your body turn, move, you should be aware. Just maintain awareness. It will slow down your thinking. But your activity will continue the same. Except now you do things with awareness within. Even your hand, how it move out, and how it wants to go to the door, not open the door, and how you push the door and go into your washroom, or enter your office, or enter your car. You have to develop mindfulness. If you train until you are very used to all this type of mindfulness, your mind will transform. It will become very heedful. It will be really different instead of heedlessness as before. All those heedless thinking will disappear. All this while you realize your thought proliferate and move faster than your action and thought process. The thought condition you to do something, but as it condition you before you do, you think some more. That's why you are never with the moment. You think a lot. Meditation is about silencing the mind so that you don't think. But initially it's very difficult where you are not used to it. So you have to stabilize that mindfulness. When you can stabilize, then you can be with the moment. Body and mind as one. Then when you walk, you just walk. Aware. Body and mind as one. Don't try to think. Then your senses can operate. It can be aware. Perceive, aware, move. Then you will be very sensitive. All of the sensation within your body, your seeing consciousness, you can be aware of them, you can follow. So this is the basis of daily mindfulness meditation. And as you train and develop, you will understand more and more, more and more, more and more. Okay, then like I promised you at the Klang Talk, I will review this book. The book is the blue color one. Some of you may have it because I got only 20 or 21 or 2 copies. Not everybody has. If you have this copy of book, you can use it. Then I will guide you through. This is a book written by a monk, Ashin Tichaneya. I think she's from Burma, trained from Burma. I don't know whether she is Malaysian, he's Malaysian or what, I'm not sure. But I know he trained from Burma. So this monk, over the years, I realize he has improved a lot. So the title of the book is Don't Look Down on Defilements. They will laugh at you. Huh? So if you read through, this is the second edition. Huh? He wrote the first edition in the year 2006. Then this is the second edition, which he has edited it in the year 2001. Huh? The introduction, all those things, you go back and read. Huh? Okay, first printing was 2006. Yeah? Then the revised edition, yeah? September 2011. Okay, you turn to page 13. Yeah? Mindfulness meditation. Yeah? This is to explain to you, yeah, that it is very different nowadays. Yeah? Their teaching used to be different type. Yeah, but this particular monk, I think, after what he has gone through all these years, he developed his own understanding. Yeah. And he wrote this down in a book, which is quite okay, quite good. He starts to actually move away from what was traditionally taught. And a lot of the pointers that he gives are quite good, except the teaching is not properly linked to the essential Dhamma. It's not that structured. So if you don't have this meditative understanding and experience, you actually cannot get head or tail out of what he tried to tell you. Then it will end up like the various skillful mean to do various things. But when you understand, then it's very meaningful. That's why my purpose here is to point out to you and share with you so that you can develop better understanding of what he writes. Then it can help you. So now turn to page 13. Mindfulness meditation, Satipatthana. I just read, then we discuss it. At this center, according to the book, we practice mindfulness meditation, or what they call Satipatthana in bracket. However, before we start practicing, we must know how to practice. This one sounds familiar, right? Yes. Oh. Yeah, I don't have really. Yeah, I only given by wave 40 books. So out of the 40 books, Tuesday class took almost 20. So I left with 21 or 22, I think. So very sorry. If you don't have, you share first. But don't worry, I read to you. I just want you to have an idea. Doesn't mean you must have this book. Understand? So you just listen attentively, then you understand. So what does this remind you of? However, before we start, you say, practicing, we must know how to practice. What did I always tell you? Meditation must be done with what? Remember now. If you don't have understanding, you go and do. Actually, I ask you one question. How can you meditate on something that you don't understand? First of all, you must know what is meditation, as taught by the Buddha. Otherwise, how to start? So that's why he also come to realize this. He said, however, before we start practicing, we must know how to practice. We need to have the right understanding or information, he said, and the right idea about the nature of the practice, so that we have the right attitude when we practice. Means you practice correctly. Actually, I don't like that word practice. It should be cultivation. You cultivate. You know what is practice or not? Repetitive thing you practice. Like you practice how to ride a bicycle, practice how to play games. Repetitive one. You keep on doing until you become very good. So you practice. Practice make perfect. But Dhamma is about cultivation. You cultivate understanding. You don't practice. Method, technique, you can practice. Practice until you're very skillful. But meditation is about developing wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding is not rigid. You cannot practice one. You cannot practice to do things that are based on understanding. But understanding is a very wide field. you have to understand that everybody is different, every situation is different, asana. It's not rigid one, it's not a practice, asana. It's not something that you practice, become skillful, then you apply, oh, okay, you have this problem, you do this. You cannot, asana. Even two people have the same problem, you cannot give them the same advice. Because they are different from birth, asana. Their past karma are different, their conditioning are different. Their understanding are different. So you cannot one size fit all. So wisdom is very different. You cannot practice it. You need to cultivate to develop it. So that is just for sharing. Then he said, we meditate on the four foundations of mindfulness. This is quite good. So he know, when you want to cultivate this satipatthana, or meditation as taught by the Buddha, he said, anchor your mind, mindfulness, on these four foundations. Body, feeling, mind, and Dhamma. In Pali is Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, and Dhamma Nupassana. As the practice develops, we give more and more emphasis to the mind because meditation is the work of mind. So now he understands, but he didn't link to the essential Dhamma. The essential Dhamma is Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. What did the Buddha say? Mind is the foreigner all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So you must link to this essential Dhamma. Then you know, mind is very important. That's why my teacher tell me, the first right view is, he said, we choose to take care of mind. He said, we had a body and a mind, and a sana, chemically conditioned for us to use. This is not me, not you, and a sana, but chemically conditioned to use. Yeah. So, to meditate, he said, this body and mind must harmonize. Asana. Then he said, body is just a body. Mind is mind. Mind never the body. And body never the mind. But he said, we choose take care of mind. Because mind is most important. Your mind is a forerunner of all things. So he also know to meditate, you need to take care of this mind. So the emphasis is to look at the mind. To understand the mind, because meditation is the work of mind. What follow below should be sufficient to get you started, he said. Later on, Dhamma discussion will take you deeper into the cultivation. He used the word practice. Please read and reread, see? Read and reread, like the Dhamma recording. Listen and re-listen. This guidance slowly and carefully means to develop the understanding. Then the next page is very good. Mind work. Meditation is mind work, the work of just being aware, understand not? He no more use the word nothing, no, understand not? You realize, no? It is not the work of the body. You listen, It is not what you do with your body, the way you sit, the way you walk, and the way you move. Meditation is experiencing the mind and the body directly from moment to moment with the right understanding. See? This is very different from last time. Last time he tell you to note this, note that, and develop vipassana. Now he don't ask you to note. He just observe the way. When, for example, you put your hand together and pay attention. He used the word attentiveness and attention. You will feel and be aware of that sensation. You remember? I asked you to feel and relax. Mind sweeping method. Instead of using mind sweeping method, he didn't connect, he used the hand sensation. Well, when you meditate, you normally put one hand over the other hand. So he said, you just feel and be aware, don't think. That's the mind at work. Can you know those sensations if you are thinking of other things? This is a very good question. Your nothing is thinking. So he asked you, can you, know those sensations or touching sensation if you are thinking of other things? He said, you obviously cannot. You have to be attentive. Attentive means what? Silent the mind. But he didn't know. He thought must be attentive, the mind attentive. The moment you are silent, you are attentive. But there is nothing to disturb you. That's why when you want to listen to something, you just silent. Attentively silent. Then your hearing become very sharp. Understand not? So sensation is the same, tactile consciousness. Then he go on to ask, can you feel the different qualities of this sensation? Then the best one is, what did he say? Do you need? What would he use? Aha, he is very different from last time. Last time, no label. Do you need labeling in order to bring your attention and awareness to the different sensation? You certainly do not. See? So different now. In fact, labeling will prevent you from being able to observe detail. Simply be aware. Just be aware. Remember? See? Now so different. However, being aware is only one part of meditation. But he didn't explain to you how it makes you insensitive, how it makes your mind not able to feel. You see, when you are thinking and labeling, what are you doing? You are arising the thought, isn't it? Correct? When you are preoccupied with what you think and what you see through your labeling, what happens? Your mind is lost in thought, and that's all. Lost in that labeling, lost in that noting. Then how can you be aware? To be aware is just silent, to see things as they are, without thought. But you are labeling and noting. Understand? You are lost in thought and preoccupied with that labeling. Pain, pain, pain. Seeing, seeing, seeing. Thinking, thinking, thinking. What are you doing? You are not meditating anymore. Understand? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either is silent and aware or is lost in thought doing all these funny things. Understand? That's why when you don't understand, you end up thought-based meditation. But he didn't explain this to you. But he know. Thinking distract him. Make him less sensitive. Less ability to be aware. To understand what is going on. So that is very good. Then he said, however, being aware is only one part of meditation. This is also true. Last time I used to share with you that sati must be developed with understanding, with wisdom. Then only samasati. If you use sati for other things, then it's not samasati. Understand? You remember last time I used to share with you? Those who are very good at sports and games, they have a lot of mindfulness. They train until very skillful, until body and mind as one. That's why they move very fast, very agile, understand? And very, very smooth in their movement and stroke. And they are very sharp, especially badminton player. Flick of a split second, the shuttlecock is there already. And they have full control, and they are very skillful. So this is mindfulness applied to developing good game. And this is not samasati. Mindfulness applied to develop wisdom is samasati. Then Tai Chi people, Qi Gong people, they also have a lot of mindfulness when they do the Tai Chi Chi and all those things. Understand? Yeah, all these movements, they silent and they move. Understand? But some use force. Understand? Understand? Then they use this mindfulness to train the Qi. Understand? To use it for help, for healing, to develop special ability, Tan Tian power, all those things. And this is another use of sati, and this is not samasati. Understand? But no harm. If you want to do it, it's up to the individual. Understand? If you want it for wisdom, as taught by the Buddha, then you use it on the four foundations to develop wisdom, to understand clearly who are you, what are you. What is this fire aggregate or form and mind is all about? How you train? How did your mind stir? And how come the form and mind is like that? And you can use it to develop the understanding of the universal characteristics of all phenomena. Their impermanent, suffering state and non-self. You silence your mind and aware, you will detect and you will understand. Then we move on. He said, in addition, you also need to have right information and clear understanding of the practice to work with mindfulness intelligently. See, he used his own word. Mindfulness must be developed with understanding. Means the four types of clear comprehension. Understand? Sati, sampajana. Understand? Clear comprehension is very important. Clearly comprehending what you are doing, sincerity of purpose. That's why you don't debate. You don't go and do all those things that other people do. Unless you want to develop those skills. Understand? then you are very focused, understand? Sincerity of purpose. Then domain of meditation, then you don't go and complain, understand? Oh, I must be in a special environment. I must be in Sumeru, only I can calm myself down and develop good meditation. Then these are all delusion that don't understand. If you have condition, by all means, use it, understand? But don't go and dependent on it, understand? Don't attach to it. Don't develop the delusion that, wow, every time you go somewhere, you find it, this place very noisy. Still Sumeru better, or Cameron better. So that type of mind cannot meditate, understand? Because you choose, you have preference, you have craving, you have desire. Yeah. And this monk called it wrong attitude. He said must have right attitude. And he actually slowly developing the understanding, but he cannot define it clearly yet. Later on I will share with you, you will come to know. Then he even say, don't slow down your action, everything. Right? It's somewhere inside there. Huh? Okay, we go on. Huh? Right now you are reading this book. He said, in order to understand mindfulness meditation, so this information will work at the back of your mind when you meditate. Understand not? Yeah. So reading or discussing Dhamma and reflecting on how to practice are all mind work and all part of meditation. So this one, reading and discussing Dhamma means what? First turning. Understand not? Reading, hearing, discussing Dhamma. Then after that, you reflect. Eh? And reflecting on how to practice. Actually, reflecting is not just on how to practice. You reflect, contemplate, and inquire into all the Dhamma that the Buddha spoke. Understand not? Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand it? That is second turning wisdom. That's why he cannot relate to the essential teaching. The first turning and second turning. But at least he know you need to read, reflect, discuss. Then only you can understand better, then only you meditate. Then he emphasized a good one is here. Continuity is vital for this practice, for meditative mind work, he said. You need to remind yourself to be aware all day long. See, this is 24-hour mindfulness, understand not? And he has this very good pointer, he said. So watch yourself everywhere, all the time. Can you do that? When sitting, walking, cleaning, talking, anything you do, watch it, know it, be aware of what is going on. That is very good. Understand? So this is the beginning. So he said, you have to remind yourself to be aware. That's what Kelly did at the office. So the awareness or in awareness or heedlessness is awareness. Awareness or heedlessness is awareness. The moment you are attentive, attention or inattention is attention. Remember Krishnamurti say? Yeah. So this is very important. So every time you remind yourself to be aware, to be mindful, so that from inside you are aware of your action, movement, your thought process, your speech, even like the Buddha said, under the sati sampajana, is it? Standing, you aware. Looking forward, you aware. Bending, stretching, you aware. Understand? Then later on, turning of your hand, lifting of your hand, movement, blinking of your eye, smell, taste, everything you aware. If you learn how to be aware, more and more sensitive, the moment you aware, you silent. Understand not? The moment you aware, you silent. You actually stop the momentum of thinking, the momentum of heedlessness. But you can do that throughout the day. Your mindfulness will stabilize, daily mindfulness. That's why daily mindfulness needs to be done until you are continuous. Continuous means what? Upachara samadhi. Understand? Continuous mindfulness. Okay, next page. Page 17. The information will work at the back of your... this one we finish. Continuity is vital. We finish. Next one. What is the title? See? The first support is what? Relax. Now also he know, relax. You must relax. When doing mind work, you should be relaxed. And he used the word practice. You go and change. Cultivate without tension, without forcing yourself. See? Now he understand. Last time is you must follow instruction. Very disciplined type of action. Now it's different. You must cultivate without tension, without forcing yourself. Then he also know the more relaxed you are, the easier is it to develop sati or mindfulness. When you are relaxed and silent, you are already in sati. That part he don't know yet. The moment you are silent, you are already in sati. He never say this in the book. But he only know that you have to be relaxed and aware. You will become aware easier. Then he used this word. We do not tell you to focus. See? So different is that. Concentrate or penetrate. Understand not? So different from last time. Focus here. Focus rising, falling. Then concentrate. Because it suggests the use of excessive energy. Because thought. Understand not? When you focus, it's the thought. Instead, we encourage you to observe. See? Watch. Be aware. And pay attention. He forgot the word silent mind. With the silent mind. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. That one, he still don't know yet. If you are tense, or find yourself getting tense, he say relax. Remember, mind sweeping method? Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you relax. Understand not? When you relax means what? You take the stress out of your physical body. Understand not? Then when your physical body is relaxed and at peace, you will have a good mind that also relax and at peace. It's because your mind got problem. Understand not? That is stressed up, then it causes your body to be stressed also. Understand not? That's how you will develop cancer and all those things. Yeah, your mind state are negative. Understand not? You got a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of insecurity. All these are negative. You lack metta. You lack loving kindness. You lack well-being. You didn't wish yourself well and happy. All yourselves never have a word of love from you, understand? Because you don't know how to laugh, you don't know how to smile. You have lost them all through your sadness, through your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation. That's why you cannot meditate. So this one is quite similar. There is no need to make a forceful effort. Right now, are you aware? That is the question you must constantly ask yourself. Then the next page. Aware of your posture means what? When you are sitting, that, like the Buddha said, sitting, you aware. Standing, you aware. Aware means attentive. Understand? Body and mind is one. Understand? Just feel. Sitting. Then when you want to arise, mindfully move. Then when you are in the standing posture, aware again. When you are in a walking posture, aware again. Body and mind is one. That is sati patthana. But it's not clearly described. He just asks you, are you aware of your posture? Are you aware of your hand touching this book? Can you feel your feet? Notice how little energy or effort you need to know any of this. This is all the energy you need to remain aware. Means to be aware is a very easy thing, very relaxed state of mind. That's why I always tell you in a retreat, why you sit until so miserable, torturing yourself. Why don't you just come out of it mindfully and go for a walk? You feel better and more peaceful, more relaxed. Then you know how to silence. Actually, there is a better meditation than forcing yourself there without understanding what you are doing. You are not here to torture yourself, understand? You are here to develop wisdom, understanding, to train your mind. Okay, we move on. You need to do this all day long. Means always maintain awareness. If you practice this way, should be you cultivate this way, your energy will increase over the day. Yeah, when you don't think, your mental energy is all actually stored up. And you have a lot of energy. That's why when you know how to meditate, when you know how to relax and just aware and silent, what happens after the meditation? You feel very fresh in there. Correct? Very fresh, very alert in there. Because you are like charged up, understand? But this energy is not lost in thought. When you think a lot, you use up a lot of mental energy, understand? When you have fear, anger, this one take up a lot of energy. But you are silent, peaceful, and relaxed. You have a lot of good vibration, and your energy is not wasted. That's why it's all conserved inside. And that metta will become very strong, and there's a lot of joy. Then your cells all will recuperate. Then you will become like very fresh. Like you had a good rest, understand or not? When you rest, you sleep also, you don't think that. But most of you cannot. Your subconscious thinking is still there. That's why you have a lot of dream state and all things. But you have a deep sleep without thought, you will wake up very fresh. So meditation is the same. No need to sleep. You just relax and silent. It's like deep sleep. And last time I used to travel long distance while working and going home. You know what happened? Every time I felt the body tired, I only need 10 minutes. I just park my car somewhere, I silent. 10 minutes, I recover fully. Then I'm so fresh. Yeah, I know how to silent. Then later as you get old, the same trick doesn't work that well already. You need half an hour already. Then after that, you need 1 hour already. After 25 years, you need 1 hour now. Initially, 5-10 minutes, I recover. I'm very fresh. And you're full of energy that time. Okay, we move on. If the mind and body are getting tired, means something is wrong, is it? If the mind is too tense or too tired, you cannot learn anything. You also know. The mind must have clarity. He said, check your posture. Check the way you are meditating. Are you comfortable and alert? And check your attitude. Don't practice with a mind. Use practice again. Never mind. We used the word cultivate. Don't cultivate with a mind that wants something or wants something to happen. The result will only be that you tire yourself. Yeah? There is craving. So you must know whether you are feeling tense or relaxed. That's why the first support is check. Whatever state that arise, if tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax into it. Even pity, relax into it. Sukha, relax into it. Very strong concentration, energy, relax into it. Otherwise you get trapped. Understand not? This one he never teach. Check this repeatedly throughout the day. He just say check whether you are relaxed or tense. He never teach you how to relax into everything. If you feel tense, observe the tension. See? He used the word observe. Actually, you should only silence your mind. Don't use your thought to observe. Understand not? If you don't do this, tension will grow. Once you feel relaxed, you can meditate more easily. But he never teach you how to relax. You just silence your mind and let things be. Then it will relax by itself. When you try to know something, do something, you can never be relaxed because your thoughts are active. And next page, this is very interesting, page 21. I told you that he used the word right attitude, which is correct. But yoniso manasikara in bracket is not right attitude. Yoniso manasikara. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wise. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So these two words are different. He should translate as wise attention. But he used right attitude because this is like right view to him. Understand? Your approach, your attitude towards sense door experience. He said, if your attitude is wrong, you will have a lot of those pleasant, unpleasant reaction and all those things. He come to know. But he doesn't know that these are the five mental hindrances. The first two. He called them all defilement. One word only. He said, they are all defilement. I read on, you will understand. He said, being relaxed and aware is essential. But it is also very important to have right attitude. This one is actually right view. The right frame of mind. But he never break through to the final understanding of right understanding, sitting as they are or something. That's why he cannot describe that. But it is good. What he has gone through is good. At least he know all the duality, your reaction, your judgment, all this, they are defilement. Your mind's wrong attitude or wrong view. I read on, you understand. What does having right attitude mean? Having the right attitude is the way you look at things. That makes you contented, comfortable, and feel at ease with whatever you are experiencing. That is right attitude. Yeah, you don't react. You don't want things your way. But he didn't explain it because he couldn't structure it properly and link to the essential Dhamma. He said, wrong view, wrong information, or ignorance of the defilement affects your attitude. We all have wrong attitude. We cannot help having them. Actually, I prefer the word wrong thought. he cannot define what is wrong attitude. No? He just give you example. So last time I give you a broad definition, remember? What is wrong thought? Thought that condition, yeah? Fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation, selfishness, emotional negativity, and all that. These are all wrong thoughts. Very easy, that. But he has to give you a lot of examples. So he give you this example, is it? So do not try to have right attitude, huh? You also know. Don't try to do good, understand? Huh? Your good according to you is no good, understand? Huh? So he also know, don't try to have right attitude. Just try to recognize if you have wrong or right attitude. Means aware of it, is it? Instead. It is important to be aware when you have right attitude, means you don't react. Huh? But it is even more important to recognize and investigate your wrong attitude. Now he realized wrong thought is very important, or wrong view. Try to understand your wrong attitude, is it? Find out how they affect your practice and see how they make you feel. So watch yourself and keep checking to see what state of mind you are practicing with. Actually, you should be cultivating. Right attitude allows you to, he also used the word accept, acknowledge and observe whatever that is happening without pleasant or unpleasant feeling. Understand? He also start to know it. In a relaxed and alert manner. He used the word way. You have to accept. Acceptance. He start to understand it. And watch both good and bad experience. Don't react. Understand? Don't be conditioned into it. He also know already. Then he said, every experience, whether good or bad, gives you a learning opportunity to notice whether the mind accepts things the way they are. See things as they are, but he haven't penetrated that fully. Or whether it's like, dislike, react, or judge. These are all wrong attitude according to him. So he keep on giving example like that. Liking something means you desire it. Disliking something means aversion to it. Desire and aversion are defilement that arise out of ignorance. He only used this word, defilement, very general. Understand? But actually, what is sensual desire and ill will? The first two? Five mental hindrance. The first two hindrances, he cannot link to this spiritual faculty and the mental hindrance. Understand? Pancha nivaranas. Understand? He called them all defilement. Ignorance and delusion is a defilement, he said. So do not try to create anything. Try to create something is greed. Do not reject what is happening. Rejecting what is happening is aversion. He only defined it this way. Not knowing that something is happening or has stopped happening is delusion. This is totally, he has to find out more. At this level, he will say like that. What do you understand from what he said? Not knowing something is happening means you are lost in thought, heedless. He said, this is delusion. Actually, what is delusion? Delusion is your self-delusion. Self-delusion means you deludedly take this body and mind and cling onto it and say, this is I, this is me. That is the real delusion. But delusion is about self-delusion. Not only heedlessly lost in thought. So this self-delusion is very important. So when there is a self-delusion, then you will come to understand that self-delusion trigger of what? Selfishness, emotional negativity, and fear, and insecurity. So fear and insecurity is a condition that delusion brings about. Well, when you cannot understand what happened, you have fear, you have doubt, you worry, you become insecure. So that is the real delusion. Then when you constantly grasp and cling to this form and mind, thinking that it's you, then there is selfishness. Understand? You think you can own things, you can possess things. Then you can also get angry with things. Understand? You think this is you. Then you can also have fear when things don't go your way, when you are being threatened. So all these are the evil root that arise. He cannot connect to sakayadity. Understand? So never mind. At this moment, he will understand it this way. You are not trying to make things turn out the way you want them to be. You want them to happen. You are trying to know what is happening. This is good. Means try to develop the understanding of reality. See things as they are. Thinking things should be this way or that way. Oh, sorry, or that. Wanting this or that to happen is not, or not to happen is expectation. Yeah? So, expectation, he said, create anxiety, yeah, and can lead to aversion. It is important that you become aware of your attitude. Ah, this is very good. Just aware. Aware that your mind judge, react, stir. Understand not? And then you trace the origination factor. How it conditioned your three evil root, the five mental hindrance. Ah, he forgot this part. This is satipatthana. As a six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. He didn't mention about this. Yeah. So when you trace the origination factor of how your mind stir and make you angry, fearful, selfish, and emotionally very negative, then you can retrospectively reverse it to wisdom or understanding. At this part, he didn't link. He didn't break through. Yeah. So he said, it is a wrong attitude to judge the practice and become dissatisfied with the way it's going. He only noticed general thing that affect his mind. Mm. The dissatisfaction either arise from an idea that things are not the way we think they should be, from a desire that they should be different, and from ignorance and all those things. Then you read on, then we skip to the last third line from the same paragraph. He said, you will become more mindful of your judgment, attitude, and gradually you learn to abandon them. Not abandon them, you straighten your view. Understand? You don't go and abandon them. You just straighten that view. Understand? If it's wrong view, you straighten it. Understand? Develop the correct view. You abandon no use. Understand? You still don't have right view. Understand? When you abandon wrong view, you don't have right view. No use there. When you straighten your view, means you not only like don't have anything to do with wrong view, but your view gets straightened. Understand? That's why straightening of one's view is a meritorious action. Remember? That meritorious action. Listening to the Dhamma, then you straighten your view. Remember? Yeah. In this way, you are developing skill, is it? Yeah? In dealing with defilement. When you straighten your view, yes. Yeah? You deal with defilement. It means you are not deluded by it. Yeah? Okay, can you read on? On your own. I need to go to the washroom. We are just now, I drink too much. I didn't go washroom here. Hope you are excusing. Yeah? You read on first.
Okay.
If you got any question, you can just put up your hand. Then we discuss it further. Yes. Pass the mic. Pass the mic. Brother Tay, help to pass the mic at the back. Help to pass the mic. Yes.
Brother Teo,
yes.
I'm just wondering, when this book is being written in that way, it's written for the beginner. So the writer did not put in the things like right view, five hindrances, and so on. I don't know.
Never mind. That one is not important. That one is your perspective and your view of it. More important is, he did mention in the preface you can read, or the introduction. It comes about through his interview with yogi over the years of retreat and all those things. Understand not? Then the feedback. Then he compiled them all. Understand not? Understand not? So as he compiled, he actually reflect, contemplate. Then he take the useful one out. Because as he teach, he learn from people. Understand not? People will tell him a lot of things. Then because he has been teaching for quite long. Understand not? And became a monk for quite long. So if he has this less rigid view, he will come to understand through his own meditation that this does not lead anywhere. You have to develop all this, which the students sometimes tell him, I feel more peaceful, more happy when I don't judge, when I don't do this. And then he put it down. Then he himself also may have developed some of this himself. So through discussion, he learned. But not important. More important is we want to make you understand his book better, understand? So that you can understand more deeply, understand? That's why I say it is already very good for him as a monk who can dare to change so many of the traditional way of doing things, understand? Their method, their technique. Later on you will see, he said, don't slow down your action and movement. He put it very bluntly at the back there. I go through, you will know, we don't have much time. The next paragraph, the fourth line, not accepting defilement will only strengthen them. See, he also know, cannot resist, understand not? You have to accept them. You don't go and fight the defilement, understand not? But he never tell you develop the opposite five, spiritual faculty, understand not? He just say, accept them for what they are. Then the defilement hinders your progress, he know, understand not? But he didn't relate to mental hindrance. The five mental hindrance hinders your mind from progressing in meditation, because it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and prevent you from living your life fully. He also know. Well, with the hindrance, you are heedless. How can you live life? You are not heedful. But he couldn't link to that essential Dhamma. Then he also know they also prevent you from finding true peace and happiness. When you got hindrance, how can you be peaceful? Without spiritual faculty, without sati, samadhi, you cannot be peaceful. You cannot have the silent mind. You cannot see that. That's why all this, he know he cannot get it, but he doesn't know that you have to just let the five hindrance or so-called defilement be and develop the opposite five, but he didn't mention. That's why he didn't talk about puja to strengthen the spiritual faculty, all those things. He just focused on meditation, and finding out. Then he always say, look out for defilement. Get to know the defilement that arise in the mind. Observe and try to understand them. Actually, the Buddha say, don't have anything to do with them. Just understand that they are the hindrance that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. So what did the Buddha say? Let things be. Don't fight, don't suppress, don't control, don't go and do anything. Well, when the spiritual faculty is there, I already explained it, it will counter the hindrance on its own. Understand? So the focus is, don't go and fight the hindrance. Means, don't suppress it, don't control it, don't react to it. Understand? Don't become fearful and miserable over it. Understand? Don't allow it to delude you and condition you into misery. Just see things as they are, accept them for what they are, and recall what the Buddha said. They are mental hindrance. They shouldn't be around. But how come they are around? Then the other opposite five, mental spiritual faculty, is what you need. With these five, the hindrance will cease to be. Yeah, they are spiritual faculty that overcome the hindrance, understand? So don't fight them. Just focus on spiritual faculty. That's why the Buddha teach you what? Puja, chan, develop the faith, sada, virya, pay respect mindfully, then meditate. Train your mind to develop sati. Yeah. Okay, turn to the next page. We have more things. This is the part I want to share with you. Huh? You look at second paragraph, huh? The last two sentences. Just be natural and simple, he said. There is no need to slow down. What? If you are just nothing like that, like a robot, standing, and then lifting. You are like a robot, isn't it? So unnatural. This is not the way you walk in the normal life. Isn't it? And that's why he knows. He said, there is no need to slow down unnaturally. You simply want to see things as they are. Understand not? Means in a natural way, when you go about doing your household chores, your duty, your career, when you live life, just do it at the normal speed, naturally. Understand not? How can you go to office and standing, look? I tell you, get a love letter very fast and you'll be psychic. Everything was also so slow. You are so inefficient. Then they look at you so weird. What are you trying to do? Then when they hurry you, you panic. Understand? You say, cannot have noise. Cannot have disturbance. Then you become more reactive. Understand? Because you have been conditioned into, there must be no noise. Everything must be quiet, peaceful. That's why they put the sign there, noble silence. Otherwise, you cannot meditate. So all this, you look back, when you understand, you will not be deluded and gullible. That's why this monk dare to write all this, understand? Which is very good. To me, it's very good. It's the beginning of good understanding and change for the better. There is no need to make an effort to concentrate. See, he also know. Wherever there is effort, like Krishnamurti said, there is no meditation. Well, the thought is the meditator. The thought wants to put in effort, understand? Because the third advice of the Buddha, purify your mind, is about wisdom, understand? Mindfulness. He never say use thought, understand? When it's thought-based, avoid all evil, do good, he say use thought, the four right effort, understand? But when it comes to straightening your view and developing wisdom, purifying your mind, he said, go and do mindfulness. Don't use thought. Develop sati, awareness. Yeah. Then he wrote on the last sentence, the more continuous your mindfulness is, the sharper and more receptive the mind becomes. He know. That's why you must have continuous mindfulness. No thought. You just aware. Then your mind becomes sharper and more receptive. Yeah. More receptive means what? More sensitive. Can accord and flow, more accommodative, understand? Doesn't like last time judge, react, and do all the funny thing anymore. Understand? But these are all your wrong views, your conditioning. Understand? Like I told the client group also recently, that day the lunch you all give me, acting according to memory is not acting at all, isn't it? Now you understand it. What is your memory? Accumulation of what? All your past experiences, good and bad, in there. All of your views and opinion, all you accumulate inside there. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, everything is here there. So you act according to memory, means what? Acting according to your fear, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your wrong view, your conditioning. If you act like that, you should die, in there. Correct or not? How can you live life with that type of mind, action? These are all delusion, heedless, wrong view. That's why memory, thought is respond to memory. And all this will be wrong thought when you don't have wisdom, when you are not enlightened. So before you're enlightened, try the barest minimum to use thought. That's why don't try to be right. The absence of evil is right. Or is good, sorry. Absence of evil is good. That's why the Buddha say, be very heedful, mindful to see the evil root. When you are incapable of evil, you are naturally good. That's why avoid all evil. When you can avoid all evil, you will be a good person. When you are incapable of negativity. Then you should ask me the question, then how should we act?
If we don't act according to memory, how to act? Correct or not? Why nobody ask? You want to ask or not? Somebody try to answer. How do you act? Spontaneous is correct, but there is a deeper meaning. Lian, go in some more. You act with what? Noble Eightfold Path also correct, but be more specific. Mindfulness also correct, but be more specific. You act with understanding. I always tell you all, meditation must be done with understanding. You act and live life with understanding. Means what? According to the Dhamma that you have cultivated, understand or? You have the right view taught to you by the Buddha. The Buddha say what? Every day you reflect. Each and every one of us, we are born of karma, head of our karma, condition is part of our. We are what we are because of karma. So when you reflect and contemplate deep into this and you have this right view, you will act according to this. You will not have fear, understand or? As long as you know you take care of karma, karma will take care of you. But if your past is really like that, has the condition for negativity to arise and it's payback time, you have to accept the reality. Like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. Because you are born of your karma, head of your karma, conditions born of you are what you are. Whatever happened to you, how miserable, how unfortunate, how unlucky, and how miserable, you have to accept this reality because there are causes and conditions behind. Very likely it's karma. Then what must you do? You have this right view. You don't argue with nature's law anymore. Right? You accept. Then you are at peace. You don't react. You don't blame. Then there is clarity. Then what you do? You do what you have to do. Right? Need to ask for forgiveness? Ask for forgiveness. Understand not? Then need to determine not to repeat this heedless and foolish way. Determine. Huh? Then determine to follow the advice of the Buddha. Understand not? Avoid all you are good. Purify the mind. That is Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? Noble Eightfold Path is everything also right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. No evil. Understand not? That's why the Noble Eightfold Path, if you cultivate, you follow the advice of the Buddha. Understand not? To avoid all you are good. And purify your mind. This is how you act. Act with understanding. Act with the Dhamma that the Buddha teach you. If you know that they are evil root, you don't need to fear. Understand not? They are the root of all evil. They will make me evil. I have to root it out. Four right effort followed by wisdom. Trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse. This is how you act. Understand not? You don't go and act according to memory, belief system, conditioning. Understand? That's why you all become very habitual. No? Straight away fear. Because you have seen how people harm you. Understand? And you have developed a lot of this accumulated fear, insecurity, especially snatch thief. Oh, after that, hear motor sound, you panic. Understand? Because you experienced it before. And these are the respond to memory. That's why fear, wrong thought. Thought are respond to memory. That's why you don't act according to thought. You act according to spontaneous understanding, which is the wisdom within. And understanding comes from the cultivation of the Dhamma. When you straighten your view, when you have right view, you will know how to act. That's how. You act without delusion. You act without wrong view. You act without the evil roots. You act with Noble Eightfold Path. But you will not go and argue with people because you have right view. You know what is law of karma. You accept the reality of whatever, what is. Okay? Understand not? Yeah. So this one is very useful, isn't it? Huh? Then turn to the next page. What's up? Oh, so fast. Wait, huh? Okay, next page. He said, be aware intelligently. This one is quite okay, actually. Huh? He said, the main two you need to be aware intelligently are what? He put there three things. You see whether correct or not. Huh? The right information and a clear understanding of the practice. This one is correct, isn't it? Because you have to meditate with understanding, isn't it? He also come to this conclusion. Then, the right motivation or interest. Correct, isn't it? You must have faith. Yeah? You must have that virya to motivate you, to cultivate. Understand not? Then, he used the word the right thinking. This one is wrong. Actually, it's contemplation. It's not thinking. Right contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. What is this?
second turning of the Four Noble Truths. Understand not? Remember not? This particular chart. Yeah? When you have read and heard first turning, wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, then you reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into it. Understand not? To develop the stability of understanding. That is the second turning. Yeah. So this is what he also came to know, but he couldn't link to the essential Dhamma. Huh? Then you look at the last four lines. Yeah? Do I understand what meditation means? See? Meditation must be done with understanding. Huh? So now he starts to inquire into all this. Means he realized the foolishness of doing meditation without understanding. Yeah? Then you turn to the next page. Yeah? You see, the other part that he put in wrongly is right information and right motivation will have a strong influence on the way you think or reflect when practicing. He said they enable you to ask intelligent questions at the right moment. This is actually the second turning wisdom. Then he said, right thinking you should change to right contemplation, reflection and inquiry. He said it's thinking that helps you to practice correctly. It's not thinking. It's to develop the stability of understanding born of the second turning. So you move on further down. He contradicted himself. He said think. Then the same paragraph, the third line. However, make sure you do not think or reflect too much. See, he contradicted himself. Correct or not? He said think. Then he said, make sure you don't think or reflect too much. Because what did I tell you? When you are in a formal meditation, don't reflect, don't contemplate. Just silent, don't try to know. When you come out of it, only you reflect and contemplate. This is where I say, if you do this, thought-based meditation come in. Understand not? Understand not? Like that day, that brother one, uncle, he did it. Yeah, he was trying to withdraw. All these other thoughts saying, I don't want this experience. Then I try to withdraw, I don't want to attach. Who is saying all these things? The thought. And he still think it's thinking, reflection, inquiry. You cannot. You do that, you become thought-based. But it's okay. Because at this point of time, he will believe that it's useful. But he mixed up the two. Contemplation has to be done after you come out of it. When you are in a formal meditation, you relax, silent, and train your mind. After you have trained, you will go into silent mind to understand deep. Reflection, contemplation is daily life. When you are alone in a quiet setting, peaceful setting, then you just reflect. When you are having a cup of coffee, then when you are just in a garden, relax, pacing up and down, breathing fresh air, then you reflect, contemplate. Your mind has clarity, little or no thought. Not the active thinking. Active thinking is not contemplation. Like I used to tell you inquire, why did the Buddha say this? Then throw it out. Then the understanding will come. Understand not? Then why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then you reflect. You reflect on the birth process. You don't go and think, no. You reflect on the birth. And then suddenly you connect. No wonder the Buddha say birth is suffering. Old age, sickness and death is suffering. You reflect on those processes. You have gone through life, you have experience. You don't go and think. That is where he cannot tell you yet. But later on, as he develop more understanding, he will be able to tell you. Then go to the last two lines. As your mindfulness become more and more continuous, your interest in the practice will grow. This is true. When your mindfulness stabilizes, you will understand more things. The initial wisdom, when your investigation stand up to investigation, when the essential Dhamma that you investigate into, when you have sati, you do Dhamma Vichaya, Dhamma investigation. So when the investigation stand up, clearly, Then you know what the Buddha teach is so beautiful, so wonderful. Then your faith strengthened. Understand? That's why you develop interest in the practice. That part he didn't able to actually explain to you. It is through your sati. As your mindfulness become more and more stable, you can use it to investigate Dhamma. Then when they stand up to investigation, there's a lot of joy. And your faith strengthened, your vira strengthened. That's why you develop the practice further. Then he said it will help you to deepen your practice, to come to new understanding, which is correct. Then he also know, ultimately, he said, it will help you to fulfill the objective of meditation, mindfulness meditation, which is vipassana insight, means wisdom. Okay, posture. This one also very useful. Don't forget to wash yourself from the time you wake up until the time you fall asleep. Whenever you notice that you have not been mindful, check the state of your mind. Try to feel what mood the mind is in. Means how your mind stir and get entangled. Then he always asks, are you relaxed or not? Then start by observing some obvious sensation on any part of your body. This is quite good. Means you just aware of sensation. Means every time you aware, you cut out the thinking. That's how you aware of hand movement. You aware of your blinking, turning, stretching. When you silence your mind, you can be aware of a lot of things you will start to see. Then the meditative mind must be simple, you also know, not complicated. You can use any sensation as your main object to bring the mind to the present moment. The main or primary object helps you to keep your mind aware in the present moment. It is something you can always go to when you are not sure of what you are observing. He failed to tell you that all this main object of meditation where you anchor your mind is just a skillful mean. You still need an anchor. But he doesn't know. Finally, when your mind reaches paucity, technically your mind already in sati. You don't need any object of meditation. Your mind needs no dwelling. It can be peaceful, silent, and aware on its own. That is the real meditative mind. So he still needs anchor. That's why he's still going through the training. He still got main object of meditation. Every time got problem, go to that one. Like anapanasati or rising, falling or what. However, he said, you do not have to stay with that main object all the time. Now he know already. Last time you remember, whenever you are not with the rising, falling, you are not doing vipassana. Remember? That's what they tell you. Whatever happened, go rising, falling. That will give you insight. Now he said, no. You don't have to stay with that main object all the time. I already told you, the Buddha also told you, after anapanasati, what you do? Kayanupasana. The first category of practice is to train your mind to be mindful. After that, he don't ask you to continue anapanasati. Understand? He said, move into mindfulness of the four posture. Understand? That mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the place. This is what you do in meditation. Understand? You don't go and gullibly every time go and concentrate on the object of meditation, the method and the technique, thinking that when you're doing that, you are meditating. Means you totally don't understand meditation. Meditation is not about calmness, not about focusing, concentrating, and training your mind alone. Training your mind is just the initial step to be aware, understand? Then stabilize it, then use it to develop wisdom. That is the real one. So when you understand, you will be able to do it correctly. Then he said, it is perfectly alright if the mind attention moves to other objects such as sensation, hearing, even a wandering mind, as long as you are aware that the mind is now aware of the new object. Means he is starting to learn about daily mindfulness. Then he said, it is also fine if it knows several objects at the same time. Actually, daily mindfulness is not like that. When your mind is silent and aware, I told you that there are two types of awareness. What are the two types? One is what? General spacious awareness. That one you silent. Your mind is not anchored anywhere. Understand? It's just silent. When it's just silent, means what? General spacious awareness. Anything that arises within the sixth sense door, that mind will detect. Understand? That one is at a retreat when you are in your formal meditation. asana, or when you are reflecting, contemplating asana, you just generally silent and just aware. Then in the midst of nature, you just silent. You can be like one with nature asana. Then sometimes when you are aware, mindful, reflecting, contemplating in a retreat, it's like that mind, that awareness, that nature is one with everything asana. You can feel it. Yeah. Then the awareness is very different. Then the second one is to live life. To live life when your mind is already in sati. This one he haven't reached yet. He cannot tell you. That is the second type of mindfulness. Specific phenomenal awareness. Then your mind can be with the moment of seeing. Whatever you see, the mind is in sati. Like the moving car. There is no label on. The awareness and the car is one. Oh. And now Song will know. A few of them who have done it, they will know. Then you realize no word, no label, no concept, nothing. The mind just flow with it. Aware, one with it. Then whatever you hear also is sati. See, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think. The thought that arises also one with it, awareness. It's not like before. Think a lot, heedless, lost in thought, never aware within. So that part he cannot share with you yet because he has not developed the stable understanding. Then we move on. In sitting meditation, you see, both the mind and the body should be comfortable. Comfortable. Keep checking whether you are relaxed or not. That's all very useful. If there is tension, first relax it. Then check your attitude. That one also very useful. Your wrong view, your reaction of mind to him. Attitude is right attitude. If there is resistance, feel the resistance and observe it. Be simple and just watch what is happening. Don't think, don't react, don't try to know. Whatever the mind is aware of, your posture, bodily sensation, your breathing, your feeling and emotion, the wandering thought or thinking mind, hearing or smelling, watch it, is it? Here very dangerous. Sometimes you don't understand, watch, use your thought to watch. Then you got again. Silent, you will be aware of it on its own. As long as you are silent, you don't think. If you are sitting comfortably on your cushion and are busy thinking about something very important without even realizing that there is this thinking going on, you are not meditating. Now you know what is thought-based. Without awareness, you are not meditating. When you suddenly realize that this is happening, do not worry about it. He said, relax into it. Then check your attitude. He said, that is, start this whole exercise again from the beginning. Means you repeat. No need to repeat. When you understand, you will not do it. When you are heedful, you will not do it. But at his stage, he will teach you like that. Yeah? To him, he's still doing this. So it's okay. He's already very good compared to most other who totally cannot come out of it. You realize or not? Okay, we move on. Just walk at a natural pace. See? The second last paragraph. He said, be aware that you are walking whenever you walk. See? When you walk, you aware. You do not need to walk fast or slow. See? He dare to say it now. Just walk at a natural pace. That's what I told you at the retreat, isn't it? Walk naturally. When the time comes to slow down, you will slow down by yourself. Then even no matter how fast you can be aware, you don't need to slow everything down. You're supposed to slow down your thought, not your action. You can watch what the mind pays attention to, or just have an overall feel of the sensation of your whole body walking. This is also good. Your body and mind as one. Understand? Your whole hand movement. Then you know what you will see. I saw different things when I walk. As I walk, naturally I walk. Then when I silent and aware, I saw birth and death of this footstep. Understand? When it moves, it's born, then die. Understand? Then this one born again, then die. Understand? Everything has its birth and death, rise and fall. Your breath also same. Arising, sustaining, and passing away. The three phases. That's why you must be with the moment. to see the phenomena, the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away without thought. There and then, that instant, then only you can awaken. Awaken to the three characteristics of nature. Then you realize everything is conditioned arising. Anicca dukkang anatta. Like I told you in Klang Talk, as real as it can be, is only the moment. Next moment is dead and gone. So how real can this footstep be? Every arising and passing away, within that moment is dead and gone. But when you are aware, body and mind as one, that phenomena and the mind as one, there is no word. Then you just understand. Then it just awaken. Everywhere. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? Appearing, disappearing. The characteristic of impermanence is everywhere. Your heartbeat, your breathing, your vibration within. Every moment of perception, feeling. Come and go so fast. Condition arising, cause. And all the characteristics of nature, universal, anicca, dukkang, anatta, they are all there. Why can't you see? That's why when you silence your mind, when you have insight into phenomena, every moment, every instant, you will see. That's why I say, for those who see, they always see. Yeah. So this is something that you will develop as you cultivate, as you awaken. Okay, we go on. We were at, towards the end. Okay, next page, we finish. Next page, third line. But remember, is it? You do not have to focus on one object continuously. In fact, you should avoid doing this if it makes you tense or tired. So he also come to know. Then he said, keep checking for tension. Because he realized he got a lot of tension and stress during meditation. That's why I used to tell you all that. Sometimes I saw you in the early days of the retreat. The face is so tense. You are not meditating at all. You are so unhappy inside. That's why I learned to smile. Learn to radiate metta. When your mind is so close and so unhappy, you hardly smile. Then I always saw that I said, you are too serious. Meditation is about understanding. When you understand, there's a lot of love, there's a lot of joy. But how come you're not having it? Because you are trying too hard. Using the thought. You want to be peaceful, you want to be calm, you want to learn meditation. You don't know how to do. Then you go and torture yourself there. The pain, the numbness, the stress, the heedless thinking. You don't know what to do. But when you understand, you realize it's only the spiritual faculty that you need. That's why you go and do your bowing. Then you go and reflect, contemplate, and develop the faith, the sadhaviriya. You progress faster. Then you just walk naturally, relax, have a simple mind. Then just aware. Keep on aware. No need to know. The understanding will come on its own. Okay, you go to the fourth last line. You need to be reasonably calm to find out what the process of eating is like. Experiencing the sensation, the smell, the taste, the mental states, what you like and dislike. Also notice bodily movement. This is quite true. Reasonably calm means he doesn't know that silence your mind. When your mind is chattering, you are not calm. Okay, we go on. Then he said, just remain aware. Next page. Then your personal time. This one is very important. I hope I can finish off this. Then we continue from there. Your personal time or activity are very important, he said. Time to be mindful. You tend to lose your mindfulness most easily when you are on your own. He asks you this question. Are you aware when you close your door? See? Brush your teeth. Put on your clothes. Take on a shower. Go to toilet. Answer nature's call, he didn't say. How do you feel when you do all this activity? Do you notice what you like and what you dislike? Are you aware when you are looking at something? This is also very good. Are you aware when you are listening to something? Are you aware when you are having judgment about what you are seeing, hearing, smell, taste, touch, think and feel? Are you aware when you are talking? Are you aware of the tone and loudness of your voice? These are all very useful. But you remember what I used to tell you, start mindfulness from at home. Remember? When you go and sleep, do your religious routine, then you will have a very good sleep. Then when you sleep, remember, be mindful, aware. Means what? As you move and turn, sit on the bed, and how you lie down, and how you pull your comforter or your blanket, aware, just aware. Body and mind as one. Then how you turn while you sleep. Sometimes you like to turn to your right, turn to the left, or some people straight, sit, lie down straight, facing the ceiling. Understand not? But you will move as you sleep, understand not? Because some are habit. Then as you move and turn, if you are mindful, the body will develop this, what they call, new habit. Understand not? And then you become more and more mindful. Then you realize your mind is very different. Then every time it's so aware, you can hear your heartbeat while you are asleep. Then initially, like what Kelly went through, quite gross. Then after that, you remember, first support, relax into it. Then it become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, more and more subtle. Then from there, you become very sensitive. You can feel the vibration between your head and your pillow. Then when you want to understand further, you put your hand on the nano pillow or the mattress. You can feel the vibration between your hand and the one. That means your mindfulness have stabilized, have become more sensitive. You still cannot hear anything or feel anything. Then you need to silence more. Then the first thing you awake, what happened? How do you do your daily mindfulness? First thing you awake, what you do? Last time I always remind myself to be aware. You know? The first thing I awake, I will be aware of my posture straight away. Then later on when my mindfulness becomes continuous, I don't have to because I will be aware throughout the day inside there. Even while sleeping, the body resting. Initially when I started is the conscious moment, the moment I aware, wake up, straight away the posture, the body. The awareness come. Then from there, I will be very, very mindful. How I come out of the bed, how I turn, how my bladder actually stir, and condition me to go to the washroom and do some relief work. So all this, you will understand. Then you will tell the thought, enough, no more. Last time, thought condition you. You become the slave. Then you quickly go. You don't even, you are not even aware of how you come out of the bed, how you walk, how you actually enter, and which hand go and open the door. You are thinking and you are having a lot of what they call anxiety and stress. Kanchong, very kanchong. You just want to go and release. Then after you release, you then you don't know what is going on. Then after that, you sit down. Then you feel relief. That's what human beings who are not mindful always do. But when you're aware, it's different. You decide. Like just now, actually, I actually the bladder quite full already. But I can still walk mindfully and just slowly I go down. I don't have to rush. No matter what, when you are aware, it is okay. Then when you are there, how you come out of the bed in the posture, then how your leg move, how your hand move, how you remove the comforter, then how you stand up, you're fully aware. Then as you walk, your leg body as one without thought, then how your hand move, how it turn the doorknob, how it push and how it close, you're aware. Then how you turn, then how you, no need to describe further lah. How you unzip and all this thing, and how you release and answer nature's call. So you learn to be aware. Then while brushing your teeth, you realize you think a lot. You think of office, you think of what to do as you brush. Then you never brush. Then sometimes, the toothbrush went to your nose. And a lot of funny things happen. But when you're very mindful, it's so different. No thought. You can feel something else on. I let you tell me. That movement and that awareness is very different. Actually, there is nothing on. There is no toothbrush, nothing on. But your mind will feel it on. I let you tell me what is it. That's why when you meditate until the form got no meaning on. you can see beyond form one. Then you are at the mind level. Then later on, you go beyond mind. You remember the three levels of seeing? Seeing. I used to tell you what? You must learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then learn to see beyond form. If you cannot see form and understand the unreality of form, the universal characteristic, that form are conditioned arising causal phenomena, you cannot see beyond form. Form will continue to delude you and have power over you. That's why you can be afflicted. But when you have that penetrative wisdom, then you will understand the unreality of form. That's why the Heart Sutta says, form is empty. Then you can see beyond form. When you see beyond form, you will see mind. Remember? Mind still got views and opinion. Then you see the unreality of mind. They are conditioned arising too. They are not intrinsic in you. They are not you. Then you see beyond mind. Then you see your nature. And that is the direct seeing. That is the true understanding. That's why when you understand, you see things very differently. And your mindfulness is all very different. Then throughout the day, you just aware. That is the new training. To live life with heedfulness. Then your heedless way, the habitual tendency, all will reverse. No more. That is how your cultivation can transform you, can develop great wisdom. Oh, sorry. We have to end now. Okay, page 39. Fold this page. If you want to read, you go back and read. Maybe I will have another session with you. Just a few more. Then after that, we can forget about this book. But for those who have affinity, like this type of written Dhamma, because some of you have conditioned with certain type of monks and asana. Because even during the early days, quite a number of Kayanamita used to tell me he is one of the much better monks than all those monks that they meet. Then early days when I saw the magazine that wrote about it that time, I knew he has not really understood what sati was at that time, during the early days. But recently when I saw this book, I was very surprised. He has changed a lot. He has developed a lot more understanding. He is very good. Like I say in Klang, he will progress very fast if he really know what these things are and go into it deep. Then he will connect all the essential Dhamma also later, hopefully. So this is what you have to slowly reflect, contemplate, and when you read all this Dhamma book, you will read with understanding, different from last time. Even though this is not structured, not connected to essential Dhamma, but because of my sharing, you will know how to connect and link. And those who cultivate properly and correctly, they will come back to the same understanding, I tell you. It won't run on. Your truth is the truth. No matter what word you use, finally come back to the same few things. The essential Dhamma. Okay? So, with this, I end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the divas. Akasata Chupumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditva Chirang Rakkantu Lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to the departed relatives and those who can receive them. and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you invoke the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we'll pay respect to the Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. We all get to rejoice together. We are Kayalamita also partake the Kayalamita fund. So we rejoice with all the good offering and the cultivation and the sharing and the transfer merits, everything. All of the wholesomeness that you have cultivated for the last 2 hours or so. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And may this wholesomeness be shared by all. We have dedicated earlier on. Okay, sadhu. Oh yeah, you have to pay them the money already.
Next Sunday, the 19th, those want to make the payment this month.
Yeah.
And next week is the last class for this month.
Yes.
And then the next class will be November 13th.
Yeah, yeah. November 13th. Yeah.